WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In the grim world of crime fiction, Donald Westlake is known for his comedy. Although he prefers writing crime novels that are more funny than serious, he wrote the screenplay for the recent psychological thriller The Stepfather. He started off writing straight, hard-boiled stories. His 1962 novel, The Hunter, about an emotionless professional criminal named Parker, was made into the movie Point Blank, starring Lee Marvin. Westlake's new novel, Trust Me on This, takes place at a sensationalistic tabloid in Florida called The Weekly Galaxy. I asked Westlake if he ever worked on a newspaper like the one described in his book.
Actually, I met a fellow who had worked for one of them for a year and a half as an editor, and he told me some stories which eventually found their way into the book. And when he told me the stories, I said, well, what's wonderful about it is that it's the front page without the serious content. It's, there is no escaped death row murderer hiding in the desk. There's just chasing the fire engines. And I said that in the first place, that could be amusing. And in the second place, it raises the age-old question of what happens to people who live exclusively on dessert.
Now, I assume that you never wrote for a tabloid, right?
Never.
But you did write confession stories.
Good heavens, yes.
Now, are we talking true confession stories? What kind of confession stories
are we
talking?
Oh, of course, true confessions. Do they still exist, those magazines?
I think that they do.
Yeah, because they used to be, their format used to be summed up in three words, which was sin, suffer, repent. And they were allegedly true stories, and they were, you know, full of adultery and babies out of wedlock and all told in the first person. And when I was first in New York and working for a literary agent who would get sort of schlock bottom of the market assignments for things, a guy there came over to me at one point and said, do you know anything about confession magazines? And I said, oddly enough, I do, because a roommate and I did a content analysis of confession magazines in college, for which we got a B-. And so he said, good, you do three one-paragraph story outlines, and we send them to this company, and they check off the one they want, and then you write it 3,000 words for $50. And I said, terrific. I did the three stories that weekend and got $150 and was well on my way.
So you had to write these first person, right?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes, weeping at the typewriter.
Now, how did you get from there into hard-boiled detective fiction?
Oh, it was easy. when I began, I wrote everything. I wrote, delicate slice of life stories and sent them to the Swanee Review, and they sent them right back. And I wrote science fiction, and even though I was someone who grew up in upstate New York, I wrote westerns. I wrote anything, and ultimately, mystery stories began to get published and began to be liked. And I think there's a natural tendency to go where you're liked. So I did more and more of those. And I spent years going around saying I'm really a writer disguised as a mystery writer. But eventually the evidence piled up all around me. So I guess that's who I am.
Now, I think the first books that you really became known for were the Parker novels written under the pseudonym of Richard Stark. Do you want to describe the Parker character?
Well, what I wanted to do was as emotionless a character as I could. He's been described as being amoral, which is true, but was not the point. The point was that he was emotional. He was a criminal because that's the easy way to have a story. But I wanted somebody who would, no matter what happened, take the rational point of view. You know, there's the thing saying that crazy people are only crazy in one spot, and then everything else is sane once you allow for that one change. So I wanted somebody who had no emotional content, and then he would go on from there.
Now, how did you get from writing this this hard-boiled fiction about an emotionless character to writing humorous crime fiction?
I think what happened was that I got tired of the conventions of the form. Every form, every genre, in every art, this is the only time I'm going to use that word, has its conventions, has its, you know, its obligatory scenes and its necessary perspectives and so on. And I got tired of the things that have to be done. And after a while, after I'd written several books, I started to write another book, and it was an Innocent on the Run kind of novel. And it began to come out funny. The innocent on the run began to comment on the things that were happening to him in an unseemly fashion. And I told my agent and my editor about it, and they said, oh, gee, don't do that. And I said, well, it won't take long, and I'll do it right the next time, but I seem to have to get this out of my system, and this one's going to come out funny. And it came out funny, and it just kept coming out funny from then on.
Did writing humor give you a chance to, in a way, admit to any absurdity you felt about writing all these tough guy type characters, knowing that you're really not the tough guy type yourself?
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, that's part of it. I say that the essential difference between a fiction writer and a criminal is the level of imagination. That the criminal can imagine committing the crime and can imagine how the crime should be worked out. The fiction writer can imagine committing the crime, can imagine how the crime can be worked out, and can imagine getting caught. So the criminal who can't imagine part number three goes ahead and does it, and the fiction writer who can imagine part number three just writes about it. A much safer way to do it.
So you still sit down to write crime fiction, and it's still funny. I mean, you still have to write it funny?
Yes, usually. I think that by now it's possible for me to treat each story on its own terms, because I know that I can fool around with it if I want, so I don't have to. A couple of times I have not. There was a screenplay I did, a movie that came out last year called The Stepfather, which the intent there was to terrify you, not with a teenage kind of slasher kind of movie, but with what has always been called psychological suspense, a kind of Hitchcockian thing that hasn't really been treated well for a while. It has its little moments of humor, but it's intent was elsewhere.
So, I mean, you're a writer who spent most of your life dreaming up crazy crimes, writing about psychopaths. what kind of connection do you feel to the lives you've dreamed up for your fiction and your screenplays?
Well, I want to set The Stepfather to one side and deal with the comedies, because
sure.
I think of the comedies as my realism, mm-hmm. or my realistic fiction. When anybody else writes a novel with a bank robbery in it, when the bank robbers get to the bank, there's a parking place in front. Whenever anybody in real life goes to the bank, there isn't a parking place in front. So when my guys go to rob a bank, they have to park three blocks away and walk back. So from that point of view, I think that my books are more realistic than everybody else's. And I think that's really where my discontent with the conventions of the genre took me. They took me into, well, what would it really be like? And as soon as you do what it would really be like, it's funny.
That's great. Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Okay, thank you.
Donald Westlake's new book, Trust Me on This, is published by Mysterious Press. This is Fresh Air.